Good morning. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I have a vision. Many have. But every such vision that is produced by man for the selfish benefit of man is a lie that will die. The Lord's vision does not send us forth to make man feel good about himself or to resolve every want that man has on this earth, but rather to reveal our sinful uncleanness. Have you noticed in how many different ways sin is often renamed? The games we play to make sin look okay. You know, we can go right down the commandments. It's not coveting, lying, stealing, but good business. It's not adultery, but a loving relationship. It's not a perversion, but an alternate lifestyle. It's not abortion, but a choice. It's not rebellion, but fulfilling my own needs. It's not cursing, but freedom of expression. And it's not idolatry, but respecting other faiths. Isaiah points out that animals with divine instinct are more obedient to God than man is. Why should the salmon kill itself to swim back upstream? Why doesn't the Capistrano sparrow decide, "Well, this year I'm going to wait an extra week because I'm a little tired right now"? Why doesn't the donkey bite the hand that feeds it? But man sets his own will and his own calendar. Man bites and kicks and rejects the hand that feeds it. This vision of God given to Isaiah confronts us with the seriousness of our sin before the holy, holy, holy. We are unclean. How would you have felt if you were there with Isaiah and suddenly your eyes are filled with the dazzling glory, your nostrils filled with the smoke filling the temple, your very bones shaking with the building, while the angels, holy, cover their faces in awe before him? Isaiah cried out, "I am unclean. I'm full of leprosy. My sinful heart is infecting my whole life. I harm others. I'm contagious, causing problems with others. I deserve to be cast out." We can never casually dismiss any sin as "it won't matter." And unfortunately, the real trump of the deadliness of our sin is that each one of us by nature, I want to be my own God. I want to decide what's right and not for me. Woe is me, I am unclean. And yet how does the Lord respond to our woe? He sends a seraph with a live coal from the altar to touch our lips. Wow. Can you imagine how that would burn on our lips of all places? And yet this was not torture. Verse 7, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. This vision does not lie and will not die, for it's based on the altar of Christ's sacrifice for your sins. In His sacrifice, your sin can't devour you. Satan cannot accuse you. Hell cannot hold you. And Jesus' sacrifice is continually burning before the Father as the demonstration that He has fully paid the atonement for all your sins. Romans 8 thus exclaims, who can bring any charge against us? It is God that justifies. Who can condemn you? It is Christ that died for you and has risen to plead for you. Who can separate you from the love of God in Christ? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You know, if the angels who did not need this salvation are praising Him for the blood-bought forgiveness He brings to us, shall not our voices break forth in praise to Him who died in our place? Send me. Send me so my whole life glorifies You. Every vision produced by man for the selfish benefit of man is a lie that dies. But this vision of Christ does not lie and does not die. For it's built on Jesus living and reigning on His throne in order to bring you that forgiveness of sin so that you may never die. And He never lies. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 246, 246, stanzas 1 and 2.